the Mills Fleet Farm Studios. WTDX Lakeville, WRXP Cambridge, WTVZ Eden Prairie. A Cumulus station. We're live.
Live!
From the Twin Cities with the Bob Sansevier Show. Great guests, interviews, and over 30 years of sports insight.
I'm pretty good at my job.
Here's the host of the show, Bob Sansevier.
I'd say, yeah, that was really important for us. And there were some factors involved in that. I think our D did a really good job going back, executing. But I think some of our play through the neutral zone was a factor in that. I would expect them to try to look at some things and some areas that they can try to get in on the forecheck a little bit more, maybe build a little bit more speed to get in on the forecheck with. So it'll be a fun one, just as far as again, they'll be looking to make some adjustments, and maybe we'll make a few to in anticipation of that.
Mike Yeo, Wild coach, making his bid to be the playoff coach of the postseason. I guess you have to win the Stanley Cup to pretty much be that, though, don't you?
Yeah.
Goes along with it.
Shouldn't be hard.
You know, and this is a no. What they did the other night was impressive. But I wonder how much of it is that this is a Blues team that, for the last several seasons, has been horrible on the road. 9 straight playoff road losses, 17 of 19 playoff road losses they've had. And if you're a Wild fan, you should be thrilled about tonight, because here's a double-edged thing. Game starts at 8:30, which means that's even more time to get lubed up for the game. But how about the children? What about the children? They don't care in the NHL about the children having to stay up to past 11 o'clock to watch a game. You know, it'll be pushing midnight, because after you watch the game, you're going to be all geeked up, and these kids may not get to bed before 1. The game goes late, you get some overtime, and my goodness, they're pushing, dawn. Well, not dawn, but they're pushing late to do it. Ben and I were just talking. He said that Mike Russo from the Star Tribune didn't get done watching the Chicago game till like 1 o'clock or 1 something.
Yeah, that'll happen.
It will happen.
Maybe they're just weeding out the hardcore hockey fans from the casual fan, seeing how late they get people to stay tuned.
Yeah, well, I don't know that that's the wisest thing they should do. But this should be these guys, they should be going back to St. Louis with a 3-1 lead. Wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I mean, if Game 3 translates into Game 4 here and they can do the same stuff, I don't see how St. Louis can come into this building and do anything to the Wild.
No, and having that crowd is, as long as, if they scored a couple of goals early, you could take the crowd out of it. But I don't know that that's going to happen, because Dubnyk, I mean, he pitched a shutout, for goodness sake.
Yeah, but after his first game, I believe it was against Buffalo when he first came to the Wild.
Yeah.
He had about a 17 save shutout, and somebody offered him a towel in the locker room after the game, and he said, I don't need that. I barely had to work out there.
Well, he should be fresh. Well, either that or he's rusty. Geez, that could be a problem. It's not going to be a problem. They're going to be fine. I'm not crazy about the 8:30 start, though.
Hopefully he won't need a towel after tonight either.
Certainly not a towel to what into? Cry into.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be any good. Hey, you know what? We have, like, 651-989-9105, 651-989-9105. We have a 4-pack of single-day passes to the 2015 Wizard World Comic-Con at the Minneapolis Convention Center. That's May 1st through the 3rd. You call in and tell us who of the superheroes would be the best goaltender and who would be the best scorer among all the superheroes. And if you give us the two best, the best goaltender and the best scorer, you're going to win those tickets. 651-989-9105 is the number. We must have some, nerdy people out there that want to go to Comic-Con. Although it's not
I'm
all
probably,
nerds that go. Well, you're
going.
A nerd.
I'm probably going. I went to it last year.
I have never
it's
gone, but I would go.
It doesn't even matter if you're really into that culture. There's a lot of cool stuff just to look at.
No, I bet it would be. I think it'd be a ton of fun. This is a big one, too, right? It's the Wizard World Comic-Con. I mean, is this like the biggest in the country?
Last year was the first time it came to Minneapolis. They go to main cities throughout the nation. San Diego, I believe, has the biggest one. But
well, who's the geekiest guy you see at these things? I mean,
I don't know. It's really awesome just seeing the amount of effort people put into costumes and go. It's almost like being on set for something.
Well, let's go. The phones are lighting up here. Let's go to line one. Who is this, please? Hello?
Ryan from Roseville.
Ryan, how are you?
Ryan from Roseville.
All right, Ryan, sorry. Ryan, all right, tell me, of the type of Comic-Con people or superheroes you'd see or heroes you'd see, who'd be the best goaltender, who'd be the best scorer among the Comic-Con type or among superheroes?
Yes, that is actually an easy answer.
Okay.
The answer to both is the Flash. Both the fastest to score and the fastest to defend.
Well,
that's a good answer. I was going to say Flash for scoring, definitely.
So you're saying you don't even need to. You just have him as the one.
Absolutely.
He'll get back in the goal in plenty of time.
See?
And he has the lightning quick reflexes,
exactly.
Of course.
Exactly.
See, I was thinking Inspector Gadget because he could stay at the goal, reach out, and tap it in. He doesn't have to leave the goal either.
But the Flash is just playing faster. Unfortunately, he's going to react a little bit quicker.
All right, well, Ryan, hold on. You may be good with that, but I would have liked two answers, but the Flash might be the answer. Let's go to line two. So who do you think? Are you going with, you can't go with the Flash because somebody already did.
Is it Kush from Minneapolis?
Kush?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
All right, well, the guy before me actually stole my answers. However, I'm going to go with the Hulk in goal.
I like that.
You know, I mean, the dude's huge. How are you going to, he's going to cover up the whole goal as long as he doesn't get,
Well, there's no hole to go through. There's no...
There's nothing to get through right there, right?
All right, I like that.
So I'm gonna go with the Hulk in goal, I would have gone with the Flash to score a goal. However, you know what, Superman? There's no way that he's not gonna make that goal. The dude's got the team on his back. There's no way he's not gonna make that goal. He's America.
Well, you know what he could do too? He could, with his X-ray eyes, could burn a hole through the other goaltender's chest and just shoot it through there.
Or even better, create like a little rut in the ice, right? So that he goes underneath the goalie.
Right, I like that too.
If he burns
a hole through the ice, right underneath the goalie, slides it right through.
Chris, you and Ryan are giving us some good options here. Let's go to line three.
Almost. If he burns a hole through the goalie's chest and shoots it through that, is that the six hole? What do you call that?
The six hole. That's a great idea.
Have to be the six hole, right?
Why not?
Right through the old aorta. Let's go to line three. Hold on a second, Kush. What'd you do there? Hello?
Shane from Minneapolis.
Shane, how are you?
Good, Bob. How are you?
Good. How about you? Who do you think? Who would be the goaltender? Who would be the goal scorer?
I think it's got to be Captain America for both. I'm going to kind of copy the first one and say two answers for the same person, but Captain America has that shield. You pop it in front of the net, it's hard. I don't see a puck going through that shield.
Is he going to use the shield to score? Come on now.
No, to save the goal. I'm sorry. In the goal.
Okay, that's his blocker.
Okay, so he's your goaltender. Who's your scorer?
I mean, you want to go blocker side. He's got an entire shield, not just a little pad.
Now, that's a good point. You could ricochet off and score at the other end, too.
Yep, and then I'm going patriotic. I'm taking Captain America again. He would pull a TJ Oshie against the Russians in the shootout in the Olympics. he'd put the country on his back, single-handedly do it, not rotate a bunch of guys like the Russians did. It'd be all Captain America. He wouldn't pass the puck, and he'd go top shed just like TJ Oshie.
Shane, I think you might be onto something. Now, Shane, give me a score tonight.
Oh, tonight's gonna be a blowout. 4-1, and it's gonna be 4-0 most of the way, and they're gonna pick up some garbage one when we're not paying attention anymore.
You are confident. Now, where are you gonna watch the game, Shane? At home, or you gonna be at the bar? Are you gonna be at the X?
No, I'm going to the father-in-law's birthday party, so I'll be watching from their place.
Oh, well, of course the game will be on. It's a good birthday. It's a pretty good party to have. All right, Shane, hold on a second. I'm going to check with Ryan and Kush. We had Ryan, all three of you guys gave great answers. I haven't come to a final decision yet, but give me your score tonight.
Oh, it's blowout. 6-0, no doubt.
6-0?
Yep. This is wild country.
Now, Ryan, let me explain to you. The Flash actually isn't playing tonight.
What?
To get a 6-0. To get it to 6-0.
Although, I say 4-1. I'm going 4-1. Your Flash isn't playing.
Are you going 4-1 also? All right, Ryan, hold on a second. Let's go to Kush in Minneapolis.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, Kush. Give me a score.
All right, well, I'm going to be a little more realistic than the other two. I'm going 2-1 Wild tonight.
2-1 Wild? Oh, you see a tight one.
I'm saying they're scoring in the first period, and then we're not giving them anything after that.
All right, hold on. Hellboy and I need to... He is a Comic-Con character himself, Hellboy. Sorry, so who are you leaning toward?
They're all great.
They're phenomenal answers.
I think the decision should be up to you. I just sit here and push buttons. You're the talker.
Well, I think what we have to do... I love Ryan's answer. I love Shane's answer. But I think... Because I did ask for the goaltender and the scorer, and I know they both gave great answers for the same guy, but I kind of like the Hulk because nothing's getting through, and Superman, I like the fact that he can go under the ice with his X-ray vision.
That'll
so
help.
So Kush is going to wind up getting the Comic-Con tickets to the convention center, but Ryan and Shane were phenomenal. They had great answers, too. Fellas, thank you to all of you guys, and Kush, hold on. We'll be right back to you to get your information, but Ryan and Shane, you guys, you kick some serious butt with your answers, too. But it's this goes to Highlander. There can only be one.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be Kush. But Ryan and Shane, call in again because you guys have great imaginations. That was a lot of fun.
But it was a four-pack, so there can be only one, and you have to bring three people.
Well, you know what? Ask Kush if he wants to bring Ryan and Shane. We'll put the onus on him.
Yes.
All right. We are going to talk about the Wild for a good part of the day. Dave Schwartz from Number 11 is going to be joining us in a few minutes. But before we do that, we have to just touch on the Vikings schedule. They open up against the Niners, September 14th, Monday Night Football.
The late Monday night game.
Late. Yeah, 8:20 starts. Wild playing at 8:30 tonight. Now, it's a tough schedule. I mean, we knew who they were going to play.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're talking about the AFC West and the NFC West, in addition to their own division, this is going to, if they can get a winning record, that's a hell of an accomplishment.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be.
Don't you think?
It's going to be very tough. I like a point that somebody else brought up to me before this show. They do have their last seven games against NFC opponents. So if they are going to make a playoff run, you got to do it there, taking care of the teams that are trying to fight for those same spots you are.
Here's where they got screwed, though. The last three games, they're at the Cardinals. Is a road game December 10th, so the weather there is going to be nice, and they're at Seahawks. I mean, the weather's not terrible, but where they really got hurt by the schedule makers, there is really no home field advantage or no greater home field advantage. Remember back when the Purple People Eaters, teams would come in from more warmer climates and they'd have to come here in December,
mm-hmm,
and they didn't want to play? Well, December 20th, the Bears are coming in. December 27th, the Giants are coming in. That's no big advantage. These are cold weather teams too. I mean, if anything, what they should have done, because the home field edge would have been much more helpful to them had they seen, you know, maybe an indoor team like the Rams coming in them, or even if they had the Lions coming in.
Or something like last season, we got that break right towards the end where we got to go down to Miami with the Vikings.
Your break here is December 10th going to the Cardinals in Arizona.
But then it's three straight.
But this is okay, but here, okay, what you're getting, this is not a great schedule, the closing of the finishing schedule. Seahawks going to be one of the best teams in the NFL again.
Most likely.
Cardinals are good. They may wind up with AP. They'll be even better. But then they have Seahawks, Cardinals back to back. But then you get the Bears, which, a division opponent's never easy, particularly the Bears with John Fox, new coach.
You have no idea what they're actually going to perform like this season.
And the Giants, well, you know what I think of them with Odell Beckham Jr.
Scary.
They are scary because they could light it up with Odell Beckham Jr. If Victor Cruz comes back anywhere near healthy by the end of the year, he should be.
And they're also saying some mock draft experts are having them take another receiver.
Because they don't trust Cruz?
Add an Amari Cooper, Devontae Parker to the mix.
Oh, my God.
And then you have Beckham, a new guy, and possibly a healthy Cruz.
And then then it's not Peyton Manning who's the best of the, has the best situation of the Mannings. Then you close at Green Bay on January 3rd. This is not an easy schedule. We're going to take a quick break. When we return, we will speak with Dave Schwartz from the Number 11 about your Minnesota Wild. Be right back.
It's time to get fired up for some Wild playoff hockey. Join Radioactive Sports at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub before the game. The superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson will be live at Tom Reed's from 4 to 7 in the afternoon for weekday home playoff games. Get to St. Paul early for live pregame Stanley Cup coverage on the show. Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub is right next to Xcel Energy Center on West 7th Street. The Radioactive Sports broadcasts are presented by Rogaszewski, Rogaszewski & Atkins. Cup coverage you can count on. Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
The Bob Sansevier Show, only on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Keep waiting. When? Frankie Valli, Four Seasons. Come on. Throw a guy a bone here. We are joined by Dave Schwartz from Care 11. Dave, I'm guessing are you there already in St. Paul?
No, I'm still at the fort in Golden Valley. I'm headed to St. Paul in probably about an hour and a half.
Now, in our first segment, we had Comic-Con tickets to give away. I don't know if you heard that, but we asked the guys who they would, this was the question, if you could name any superhero, who would be in goal for the Wild and who would be your leading scorer? Who would you put of the superheroes in goal and as your leading scorer?
Does Stretch Armstrong count as a superhero? Because I think he would cover a good amount of the net.
Well, see, I had mentioned, oh, he would because he could stretch everything. And I had said
right?
Inspector Gadget because he could stay in the net and then reach out. But I don't think I know if he has the reflexes.
And who's the guy? Well, who's the big guy from the four, the Fantastic Four, the brick guy who's huge?
The Thing.
I would put him
the
in
thing.
The Thing. Yeah, that's my. I'm going with the Thing.
I don't know how quick he said. Well, here's a couple that we got. One guy called in and said the Flash for both the goal and the score because he can get back in goal in plenty of time.
That's a good idea.
And then another
that's
guy.
A great
went,
call.
The other guy went with Captain America for both, because with that, you know, that shield, he could put that on the stick side.
And he's got quick reflexes.
Quick reflexes. But the guy we gave it to, because he actually, you know, he gave me two different guys, and they all were great answers. The Hulk in goal, because there's no opening. And then Superman for the score, because with his X-ray vision, he could melt the ice under the goaltender and shoot under it.
But see, I feel like the Hulk would lose his cool at some point and end up taking a penalty.
That's
you know,
true. Then
like
what do you do?
He'd give in to Steve Ott. He'd take a swing at him and put him into the upper deck, and then we'd have to lose him for a little while.
That's
my concern.
He'd put him in the upper deck, or he'd hit him and he'd go through the roof and just keep going into space.
Either way, you're looking at either 2 or 5 minutes.
That's
my only concern.
I wish you were there to help judge.
Now, that might be a major.
Yeah. Now, these guys also went, one guy, the guy that won, went with 2-1 Wild. The other two went with 4-1. How do you see this game going tonight?
Oh, boy. I think if they're going to win, they're going to win by a couple. Just the way that it's been going in this series. Either because we've seen a good Blues team, and we've seen a lousy Blues team. And game one, we saw a really lousy Blues team. Game two was a very good Blues team. And then we did, you know, we saw, I think, a very good Wild team on Monday night, but not as good of a Blues team. But I could see, I think the Wild win. I mean, I do think that, and I think it's probably like a 3-1. That's what I'm going to go with tonight.
You know, Dave, I wonder what it's like for, you know, what if you're Ken Hitchcock, you've been through and you've seen this team go through, and many of the players have. 17 of the last 19 road games, playoff games, they've lost. They've lost 9 straight road playoff games. That has got to wear on these guys.
Yeah, I mean, you can't discount it. And if the Wild can come out and score early tonight, then you can really mess with their mind a little bit. And that's what they have to do. It's a quick goal in the first period that really puts this thing away, I think, because then they fall back into the old, here we go again. I mean, they've lost in the first round each of the last two postseasons. And then you can play with them. Then you got them. And then you got them on the ropes. You go home. They're still not feeling great about themselves. And maybe you knock them out there on Friday night.
You go down 3-1, and they know that they still have to come back here again. And they know they're playing a team that has had success on the road late in the season. And also in game one, that's a lot to be wearing on your mind. I agree with that. But now do you know, by the way, because I have not seen or checked, what's Yo going with? Is he keeping with Fontaine and Bergenheim?
I believe what I heard is he's staying with the same line.
Yeah, well, why would you mess with that? You've won the two games with those, you know, with that lineup and that roster.
Well, and Fontaine is probably one of the more unheralded players. I mean, you just love the way. And Bergenheim as well. I mean, the two of them played really well. They played well in the games that they won. And, why mess them up? Well, you can have a fourth line that can do damage and really, you know, cover the other team like those two guys have. No. There's no reason to mess with it.
No, and I understand, you know, you can make the argument, well, Cook has been this, you know, won Stanley Cup and he's been in playoffs. However, if you don't need him, why play him? I mean, you have to assume you're going to be in more series. There may be other series where he absolutely needs to be in.
Yeah, and I'm still not convinced he's 100% yet. I mean, I've seen him skate a little bit, but let's not forget, he was not good enough to play in game one of the series. So I find it hard to believe that he's completely 100%. And if that's the case, then maybe he's not as effective as he could be.
Yep.
And really, what Matt Cook does best is agitate, and they don't need that right now. They need guys who can rise above that and score and play fast. And those are not necessarily – Matt Cook offers a lot, but speed and scoring is not two of the things that are his specialty.
No, and you're right. You're absolutely right. There's no need to do that. Now, let me ask you about something else because I was – bitching about it earlier. The NHL wanting to get all these games on TV and, you know, blah, blah. But 8:30 start in Minnesota? I mean, what are you basically you're telling people and their kids, you know what, kids, either you're not going to get much sleep or you have to put your kid to bed and say, well, you can watch the first period, now you have to go to bed. I just think it's a bad idea.
And it's because we get complaints about it every year because it's, you know, because it's on nationally, obviously, CNBC, or tonight I think it's on NBC Sports Network. But, yeah, I mean, it all but eliminates anything east of the city of Minneapolis to watch this game. I mean, you're not going, what are you going to do? You're going to start watching a game in New York at 9:30 at night, you know, a game that you don't have any rooting interest in. So I hate the fact that the NHL, I mean, I understand that they want to get everything on television, but let's be honest, your prime audience for this game is the Central Time Zone, so why not start why not start the Eastern Conference games at 7 o'clock and the Central Time Zone games at 7 o'clock and let people choose which ones they want to watch? Because that's where you're going to get all your audience anyway. We've gone over this year after year. I don't understand Bettman's logic with it, but and I'm sure a lot of it has to do with TV scheduling and money and all that kind of stuff that's above my head. But it is a little bothersome that, yes, you're right. You have, you know, it's a joke now that, you know, you get a note from Nico Koivu to take to your teacher and your boss the next day as to why you're tired because you were watching the game. No one's going to do that, but you're losing the game to the younger audience, and you're losing the chance to build fans
who
are under 16 years old because they have to go to bed.
It's for the children, Dave. It's for the children.
It's always about the kids.
That's right. Dave Schwartz from Care 11. Now, Dave, will you be going back to St. Louis?
I have my flight booked tomorrow. I will be on my way back to St. Louis, yes.
Oh, now, so are you on the, you're there, then you come back, and if it goes game seven, are you going to go for game seven?
I would assume if it goes to a game seven, then I will be going to game seven as well. So I'm really hoping that they finish this thing off on Friday.
And take care of business, because that's a busy itinerary. Although, it's not so bad, because you're talking, it's not a ridiculous, I mean, if you drove it, it'd take you, what, 7 hours to drive.
Yeah, it's at least it's a quick, I mean, I'm flying direct this time, so it's a quick flight. It's, you know, an hour and a half down there, and I'm there, and then you hit the ground running.
Yeah, obviously you got, you have a day tomorrow. Would you get in time for a skate? Probably not.
No, we won't. I'll get there tomorrow. I think I get there at 2, and we'll probably start with live shots, I would assume, 5, 6, and 10 tomorrow night, and with some stuff that we've collected either during the day or probably tonight after the game. But because I doubt with such a late game that they'll skate tomorrow morning here unless, I mean, I suppose they could skate at 1 and then hop the flight down there at that, which they might do.
But, well, the other thing is,
we'll have a little bit of fresh. We'll have some stuff fresh from them either tonight or tomorrow.
Tomorrow's schedule could also be based on how they do tonight.
True.
You know, because if they just have a really good game.
You know, if they play well and they win and they have the chance, I mean, you got to believe that Mike Hill wants to do everything the same, which is, you know, get up, skate at 1 o'clock here, and then get on the flight. Because really, if they skate here, they have nothing to do once they get there tomorrow night.
Yeah.
So you keep this time the same, you get on a quick flight, you do your treatment or whatever you got to do when you get there, and then you hit the hay.
But there's also is a group of guys that, yes, there's young guys, but it's very veteran-led. And these guys, there's no way that Zach Parise and Suter and Pominville, and I mean, they're not going to, these guys are all going to be staying in line. I don't see any issue like with some other teams where they'd be out partying.
No, not at all. And I think Zach Parise's influence on this team is immense. And in fact, I talked with Craig Leopold about it when I was in St. Louis. We were just kind of having a conversation. And one of the things that he talked about is from the top down, leadership is really fantastic with this team. And that starts with Parise and Koivu and Suter. And I mean, the guys on this team after game one, there was zero celebration in that locker room. You would have thought they'd lost. Because, and that started with Zach. It was, yep, we won, that's great, but it's one game and we have a long way to go. And I think that's, you heard that, I heard it out of him, I heard it out of Charlie Coyle, I heard it out of Matt Dumba, a rookie, so you know that message is coming all the way down, and I truly believe that starts with a guy like Parise.
Well, and in reality, it's, I mean, you're right, there's a long way to go until you get that fourth win. It's never, these seven-game series, we've all seen them turn when you think something is wrapped up. Well, Dave, have a safe trip tomorrow. Enjoy the game tonight. Dave Schwartz from Care 11, check out his stuff. This evening, you'll be going live from there, right?
Oh, yeah. You turn on the television. You can't get enough of me. I'll be everywhere.
All right, Dave, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you later. All right, take care. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, come back with our Gophers segment. Every Wednesday we have a player or a coach from the Gophers. Today we're going to have John Carlson. He's the coach of the University of Minnesota men's golf team, they are going to go this Friday to try to defend in Indiana their Big Ten championship from a year ago. And they got a kid named Jose Mendez, great kid. I talked to him yesterday. He was tied for the best score at last year's Big Ten championship. He's from Costa Rica, one heck of a good kid, good player. But we'll talk to John Carlson when we return.
Later today on Radioactive Sports with the superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson at 4.
Join the superstar Mike Morris and me, Game 4, as we get ready tonight at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub just down the street from the XL Energy Center. Game on, boys.
We are joined by John Carlson, the coach of the University of Minnesota, a men's golf team, a team that last year won the Big Ten championship, going back this week on Friday to try to defend that title. Now, John, are you feeling pretty good about your chances?
I am. Our team's playing at the highest level we've played all year, so that's what we're always hoping for at this time, and I can't wait to see them compete this weekend.
So obviously you're peaking at just the right time.
Yeah, we are. You know, the guys, they've competed well the last couple weeks, and Iowa, we had a bit of a breakthrough with some of our freshmen last weekend, and they're ready to go this week.
Now, John, I talked to one of your golfers yesterday, Jose Mendez, and right. He's from Costa Rica. Now, a football team goes, you know, all around the country to recruit. You go around the world, it seems like. I mean, how far have you recruited? Is he the farthest you've gone to get a golfer?
Well, we actually have another player on the team from Iceland.
Jeez.
So we've got Costa Rica, Iceland, the team won national championship team in 2002, had a couple Australians on the team. So we really try to, you know, our scope is the world, and we just try to get the best player to represent our team in our great golf state.
Now, do you go to your AD, Norwood Teague, and say, I got to get to Iceland because I got a kid there I need to see? Or do you try to convince the kid to come visit you?
We usually try to get down to see him when they play maybe tournaments in Florida in December or January.
Okay.
And if we can't see him then, and if we have to go internationally to recruit, we certainly do that.
Well, that's pretty good. We're talking to John Carlson, yeah. The Gophers golf coach. Now, last week I talked to the tennis coach, and I said, you and to your tennis coach, you and the golf coach have the two best jobs. Because basically, you're golfing and playing tennis. What could be better than being a tennis or golf coach? Or am I minimizing the importance of what you're doing? I know what you're doing is important, and you probably actually do a lot of coaching, but it's not a bad way to go, is it?
No, it's not. I kind of pinch myself each day just how fortunate we are to be able to be coaching golf, to be around golf, just to be around the great people that are associated with golf in our state, and then to be able to be around 18 to, you know, 24-year-old guys that are, you know, come from great families, and they play a game I love, and it's a wonderful opportunity. And I joke with one of my closest friends, Brad Frost, that he's in Detroit recruiting while we're in West Palm Beach.
Well, if Brad's a good friend of yours, you must be a pretty good guy, John, because I've known him for years. He's a great guy, and he kind of puts a little pressure on the rest of you to come in through with those national titles.
Yeah, Brad and I, we go to lunch almost every day together. We hang out outside of work a lot. We play a lot of golf together. And he just, both of us, we try to share as many stories that we possibly can with each other just to help each other out. And he's obviously helped me out a whole lot more than I've helped him. But I'd like to say that we're a big part of each other's success, at least the last couple of years.
Now, this is our Gopher segment with John Carlson, the coach of the Gopher men's golf team. Now, when you play with Brad Frost, the women's hockey coach at the U, does he have the Happy Gilmore shot?
No, but he has some shots that, let's just say, don't go exactly where he's looking.
So you have to give him a few strokes when you play, I'm guessing.
Yeah, you know, he's getting better, but I always joke with him, if there's trouble on the right, he's definitely aiming as far left as possible.
Well, that must be fun. Now, do you play with him at your course, the campus course? Or do you play a lot of, do you go all over the place to play?
Well, people, in the golf professionals and general manager in our state, they love Gopher Golf, and they're real close friends of mine personally, and Brad's now. So Brad says that he's actually a member at every private country club in the Twin Cities. So
if
he comes with me, he likes to just go and play the nicest places. So we kind of have a little tour in the summer. We like to play all over Wayzata, Interlochen, Hazeltine, you name it.
Well, that's pretty good. Well, it makes sense, though, because everybody who runs these golf courses, they all have a kid of their own or, you know, a kid they know who might want to play at the U someday. So it doesn't hurt for them to be as nice as possible to the coach at the U.
Well, you know, certainly that perspective is there. But I think from us, I mean, the amount that they give back to us as a program, I'm just we're very, very fortunate here at Gopher Golf, and we try to maintain those relationships the best that we can.
Now, when I talked to Tom Lehman, you know, when he was active on the PGA Tour, and he's obviously doing very well on the Champions Tour, but he talked about having been offered the job to coach the Gopher Golf team years and years ago, but part of it was he had to work there, I think, in winter, too, and give out, like, cross-country skis. That's not part of your job, is it?
Not anymore.
You but, never did that, did you?
No, he's told me those stories, too. And I think things have changed thanks to football and basketball and just Gopher athletics in general. Those sports allow us to have opportunities to just really coach our team and be as good as we possibly can in the Big Ten.
Now, how much do you use in recruiting the fact that, you know, Tom Lehman went to the U and you had a national champion more than 10 years ago, almost what, 15 now with James McClain? Yep. And I mean, is that a recruiting tool for you to have had people who've had success in the program?
Yeah, we certainly use it all the time. And, you know, Tom is a big advocate, a friend of mine that offers me advice. And, you know, going back to those national champions, both the 2002 team and the individual champion. It's very rare to win national championships any school in the North, and we're very proud of it. Our tradition here is certainly extends back far back into the 80s and 70s, and we're proud of that, and we use it in recruiting all the time.
Well, explain to me, like a guy like Jose Mendez played in Costa Rica. He was the Callaway Junior Golf Champion, the 15 to 17-year-old division. How do you beat out these schools from the South where he could be playing year-round in Florida or Arizona? And there's got to be, I mean, you have a pitch that is bringing these guys in. What is it that you use?
We use the, you know, Minneapolis-St. Paul. What a great city to live in. What a great city to potentially work in after college. And the University of Minnesota and the Big Ten, you know, those are our selling points. But above and beyond that, we really try to, more than maybe other coaches, get to know the families. And in the recruiting process, because it's so early now, it's getting to be more and more difficult. So we try to get to know everyone that they're, you know, going to see back in, whether it's Costa Rica or Iceland. And cause they trust those people. They've grown up with swim coaches or, you know, psychologists and any of those type of people that are around them. We really try to get to know them, and we try to just be an extension of their family when they come here, so their families know they're going to be taken care of.
Well, I knew this, but I said to Jose, I'm guessing when you visited, it was June or July or August, and he said, yes, it was. You're not bringing kids in to visit in January or February, I'm guessing.
That may be a little bit strategic.
I bet it is. That's what happened to me when I interviewed for the job. The first job I got in Minnesota was to cover the Vikings for the Star Tribune. They brought me in May. And I thought, my God, how bad could winter be? What's funny about Jose is he had said, he figured, well, if it gets cold, I'll just put on two sweaters.
You know, he has really kind of just rolled with the punches. And we have thrown him probably the worst winter that we've had in, what, the last 40 years, last year?
Yeah, 2 years ago, yep, or last winter.
And,
not this
you know, and he has just really kind of persevered through it. He is, as a student athlete here, he has just really kind of, you know, adopted, you know, everyone as friends around here, and all the academic advisors know him, and Jose is kind of the life of the party when he comes into the department.
Yeah, he seems like a great kid. He had mentioned there's 14 golf courses in Costa Rica. How many are in Iceland?
Well, there's, 50, I think, 55, but
really?
The majority of them are 9-hole golf courses.
Okay.
So, you know, when you add it all up, there's not many holes of golf to play in Iceland or Costa Rica.
Well, no, because he had said I think five of them are, or five or so are near the capital, and the rest of them are where the resorts are, which would make sense because of the tourists. But it's got to be, I mean, when you see someone like him and the success he's had, you must say, boy, look what he's done without, you know, having the best opportunities, what you could do when you get him. And I'm sure he's become a much better golfer. As a matter of fact, he's third all time on your season average behind James McClain, right? And he could actually overtake him if he has a couple of good tournaments.
Right, yeah. His scoring average right now is is an average of 71.09, and James McClain is just a tenth lower than that all time. So we talked about that individual meetings over the winter and kind of really posed the chance to him that he could really kind of reset the records here. And just a quick story about Jose, you know, when I went over there to watch him play and recruit over in Nicaragua, actually, he signed autographs for 10-15 minutes with little kids after he played. There are about 500 people walking around with this group, and he is a legend over in Central America. So having him here, just the support that he has over there is overwhelming.
Well, that's terrific. Yeah, he sounds like a nice kid. He's got his head on straight, too, because he said he wants to get his degree before he turns pro, because he says you never know, you want something to fall back on. So that's a pretty mature attitude to have.
He is very mature, and, you know, I hope that the 2020 Olympics, he's a big part of that for Costa Rica and kind of adopted here in Minnesota.
Well, and just you're going to the Big Ten Championships this Friday in Indiana, and he tied with the best score last year, tied for first as an individual, so I'm sure you're expecting to have another great year. John, I got to tell you, it's been a lot of fun. The time just flew. John Carlson, the coach at the University of Minnesota men's golf team. We just we'll sit back and expect you to bring back another title.
Well, we're going to certainly try. Thanks a lot, Bob, for having us on.
All right, thank you again, John, for this Gopher segment. We'll be right back. We got plenty more to talk about.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series, only on 105 The Ticket.
Joey Logano just screams out into the lead. McMurray's locked in the second. Matt Kenseth and Kevin Harvick side by side for first.
Saturday night at America's premier short track, Richmond International Raceway. The Toyota Owners 400 is live Saturday night at 5.
That's the battle for the lead in turn one.
This is Brad Keselowski.
This is Dylan Hart Jr.
This is Jeff Gordon.
This is Jimmy Johnson.
This is Kevin Harvick.
Your home for NASCAR in the Twin Cities is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Now back to the Bob Sansevier Show, Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
3-0, oh, it's the magic number. Yeah, it is. It's the magic number. Somewhere in that ancient mystic trinity, you'll get 3.
Inconceivable.
Magic number.
And this and that and that and this. Let's see if that. There we go. He's refused for weeks now to play Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons, so I have to play it on my computer. I can barely hear it. Anyway, see what you do to me? Yeah. All you have to do is give it to me once. Little Ragdoll, Sherry, you know, December 1963. I'm not asking for much here. But no, you won't play it. They're playing Big Girls Don't Cry is playing in the background here, but something can't make it any louder. Darn.
That's right. Okay. We'll have to get by.
Okay, it's one of the great groups of all time, and you diss them.
Of all time?
All time.
Come on.
They had more number ones than most of the groups you like.
The Beatles?
Okay, I bet they have more number ones than Rush. We're going to do it.
Maybe.
Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, number one hits. All right, let's see how many they had. I think they had at least three. I don't know. It's not easy to find. Well, we'll find that later.
Three is the magic number.
Perfect segue. A segue. What's your first question?
Jen, Bob.
Yes, sir.
I have three questions for you. Number one, on a scale of 1 to 10, how difficult do you think the Minnesota Vikings schedule is?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I would say it's the most difficult schedule in all of football. And that's not just me talking. The Vikings, if you take, there's some factors that I think ESPN looked into.
Mm-hmm.
They factor a few other things in, like, you know, it's sort of like what all these people did, the metrics you see in baseball. They added a few metrics to it, and they have the Vikings schedule down as the toughest in the NFL because they face the AFC North, the NFC. Well, excuse me, they face the NFC North. They face the two West divisions, the AFC West and the NFC West. Denver, Kansas City, and San Diego had winning records each of the last 2 years. NFC West, I mean, that's about as tough as it gets. And those teams, I think there's teams in there that are going to get better.
And you look at some of our games that are supposed to be easier games against teams like the Falcons and the Raiders. Those are on the road. So we have to go to their place
so those
and
teams
beat
are,
these teams.
Those are teams that should be getting better. But they're 7-9 last year. but all seven wins are against losing teams. They got a lot of winning teams on the schedule. This is not a good schedule for them or an easy one by any stretch.
It's good to be better than bad teams.
So Teddy's going to have to be slinging the ball, and if Adrian Peterson is still here, he certainly will help. You know, keep the other offense off the field. And you got Green Bay. You know, Detroit still has talent on that team. The Bears, they got John Fox. They should be better, too. This is not a good schedule at all. You know, and you mentioned about Oakland. I mean, Oakland, they upset three teams that were trying to get to the playoffs last year and had good records. It's not a great team by any stretch, but they played better last year.
Yeah.
They could be on the rise, too. It's not a good schedule. Not at all.
It's going to be rough.
Rough and tumble for your Vikings. What else you got?
Number two. Yeah. The Oklahoma City Thunder fired their head coach, yes, Scott Brooks. Did he deserve to be fired even though he didn't have Kevin Durant for a bulk of the season?
No, I don't think he did. I mean, I think that was they had to blame somebody. So he's the one that winds up paying the price. I wonder if Flip will decide to step aside, and he could be a guy that could be a candidate for them.
That would be a possibility. I mean, you see what he did with a younger Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook and what he turned them into.
Well, that's what I mean. I mean, he might be a good guy for this team. And we don't know what happened with, you know, could have friction with the GM, could have friction with the owner. The fact is, though, I don't know how long Flip wants to do this. I think he'd probably want to coach forever if he could. But there's a point where he needs to step back and be the team president and the part-time owner and let somebody else coach the team. You know he's going to have an influence. And I'm sure he and Scott Brooks get along. You know, they know each other from way back.
I think it is sad to see a team fire their coach like that when Durant played a little over 20 games. They missed Russell Westbrook for 15 games, and Serge Ibaka didn't even play the last 18 games of the season. That's your three best players.
No, it's
great. You can't expect amazing success in the NBA without your top core talent.
No, I don't know what they actually were expecting from him. That's why I think there's some friction there, that something else was at play here. Because anyone could see that he didn't have the tools he needed to work with. But I do think, I mean, Flip probably doesn't want to step aside because he wants to get in the right direction before he does step aside. But why not let somebody else take the chance and take the hit if it doesn't turn?
Yeah.
Then you could fire him and get somebody else.
Need a patsy.
There's always got to have a patsy. What else you got?
And finally, do you think the Wild can maintain their discipline and not be drawn into bad penalties?
I don't think that's going to be a problem. This is a team that they are on that mission you hear about. They played great the other night. I don't see any reason. Well, here's a combination. They're playing exceptionally well. They're at home playing against a team that has been playing exceptionally bad the last few years in playoff road games. As we noted earlier, 9 playoff road losses in a row, 17 of 19 they've lost on the road. There's something inside the heads of these guys, because that's a good team, but they get in the postseason and they're struggling to play well on the road. And I think it's going to happen again, but I think the Wild will certainly have a say in why they're struggling too.
And it's not like you're looking at a team with players that have changed throughout the years. This is what's happened to them the last 3 years.
Yes, and that's from their standpoint, that is not it's not a good scenario at all. We are going to take a quick break, and when we return, we're going to be talking more hockey. Pete Wagner will be checking in with us. Actually, Pete's going to be with us to talk hockey. He does On the Ice on Saturdays. And then in the segment after that, he's going to be joined, and we're going to be joined by Al Newman, the former Twin, because then there's also On Deck Radio on Saturday. We're going to talk baseball with Pete now. But before we talk to Pete, we're in a great mood today. Anti-D-bag of the day. We're going to go with the anti-D-bag of the day. And it is a member of your Minnesota Vikings. We'll be right back.
Passionate sports talk. 105 The Ticket. D-bag, need a bop off. D-bag, need a bop off.
D-bag, need a bop off. D-bag, D-bag. We're going to take a day off from the D-bag, although we have to tell you about Jameis Winston a little later. But first, we have an anti-D-bag of the day, and it's a Vikings, and it's a Viking. Remember the Vikings? Vikings wide receiver Charles Johnson. Here's why he's an anti-D-bag of the day. There's a young girl, 10-year-old, Mackenzie Moriter from Shakopee. Her mom sent out a plea on Facebook, 10th birthday party for Mackenzie, and the mom had invited some girls to come, and none of the girls invited were going to come. So her mom, Jenny, puts out on Facebook that, you know, she'd like someone to show up for a 10th birthday party. And as it turned out, nearly 300 people showed up. And Charles Johnson, the Vikings wide receiver, was among those who showed up because his wife, Kaylin, had read about the situation with McKenzie and decided to tell her husband, and they showed up. And McKenzie has a genetic disorder called Sotos syndrome, which can cause kids to grow faster than normal, and also there can be some developmental delays. But the kid was thrilled with the people that came up, and thrilled that Charles Johnson showed up. He showed up with his, you know, with his kids. He has three young daughters, and that was just a nice thing to do. Nothing he had to do. He wasn't trying to let people know he was going. Didn't want anyone to know about it. Just showed up because he thought that when his wife told him about this, that it'd be nice to have some people show up at this girl's party. And as it turned out, 300 people showed up. And he actually, the stuff that he said, it's true that people, you know, you put the word out and people responded. You know, that many people saw it and they just decided they were going to go out and they were going to help this young 10-year-old girl, Mackenzie Marauder. And she said, people tend to shy away from things that are different. I pride myself in being different. I like to stand out in the crowd. I expressed that to her, trying to help identify with Mackenzie and say, look, it's no big deal if you have this issue where, you know, the Sotos syndrome. Just be yourself. It's a classy thing to do. Now, how about, see this latest on Jameis Winston?
Him describing the crab leg.
Yeah, now he's
fiasco.
Yeah, he's going around blabbing and telling him that, well, you know, I didn't steal it. I got hooked up. So the guy at Publix hooked him up, gave him the crab legs. Well, if you get hooked up, what hooking up mean is you get it in a bag and somehow the guy gives you some sort of receipt so you can walk out like a normal person. If you're getting hooked up illegally, you don't stick it in your pant leg.
It just sounds like somebody's stealing for you and you're just helping.
Well, it just doesn't. Here's the problem, though. There's a bigger issue, too. Publix is, according to him and others, this has been going on for years. That they're giving away, you know, they give away free food or things to Florida, you know, to the players from Florida State. I don't, had you heard, I hadn't heard that.
No.
I mean, I guess it's possible. But it's getting to be a situation now where Florida State has to launch its own investigation because there could be, if others have been getting it, that could be quite a violation. So they now have to. Now, Publix is saying it's conducting, or says it conducted its own investigation into Winston's claims that an employee was giving him free stuff, but found no evidence to back up what Winston said. I would run from this kid as fast as you can run, which, as we've heard, is quite fast.
I think
there's no way I would waste a top draft pick on him or take the chance.
I might
just
take the chance if I can sign into a contract in which I pay him in hooked up crab legs.
Well, okay, but
save some cap space.
If you could do the hooked up crab leg, I'd do it for that. But even if you did that, though, he may not perform for you on the field because you just can't trust him. Is this the type of kid you want leading your team?
Not really, especially with a more soft-spoken coach like Lovie Smith, and you got Leslie Frazier down there, guys that are kind of more of the player's coach.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to be able to tame him, so to speak.
No, there's definitely some questions about, I mean, there's a ton of questions that have come up out of this, and there's just no way. I just think the thing to do if you need a quarterback is look at Marcus Mariota. He is going to be, it's going to be like Teddy Bridgewater. He should not slide. He's never going to slide to the end of the round.
I'm not high
on, people should not be down on him.
Either of the quarterbacks, if I was Tampa Bay, I would probably just take somebody best available.
Think the best defensive player,
something like that.
Leslie didn't exactly light it up as a defensive coach this year.
Having Gerald McCoy and Leonard Williams on the line would be pretty solid to start out their defense.
That would not be too shabby at all. But, you know, if they're so hell-bent on getting a quarterback, I would, given the choice, I'd go with Mariota. Because there's never been an issue with him, and there have been other, I mean, people have whiffed before. Ryan Leaf. I mean, he came in suspect to start. Supposed to have been a great talent.
Yeah.
Well, how'd that one work out for him?
Not too well. Ended with him just doing a lot of shouting, get away from me!
Yeah. Well, that and, I mean, just go through Art Schleister. He wound up having a little gambling issue. I mean, when these guys come in with issues, they don't suddenly go away because they're in the NFL. They are what they are.
Yeah.
It doesn't stop. I mean, you're bringing this guy in to be a starter right away. Johnny Manziel was not, you know, he wound up going 23rd. He still partied like a, you know, like it was 19, whatever that song says.
1999.
Thank you. He was partying like, you know, he just kept partying, and then he winds up going through through rehab. But there was just no end to it. I just don't think, I think it's a horrible idea for these teams, especially for one of the top picks. Somebody will do it thinking that they could straighten them out or they could make it work. Now, in the football field, from what we know, I mean, he was fine, and he played great on the field. However, you got to think that Florida State covered for this guy. In a lot of instances, there's a point to how much you could cover for him. I mean, when you look at all, it wasn't one isolated crab leg thing. There was a lot more going on. He's being sued now by the woman, right? That the school said they found no evidence of him assaulting her.
Yeah,
I think she's suing him in a civil suit.
Yep.
But then when all this is going on, he got up on a table and started singing these crude and lewd comment, or this meme, I think it was called. He was doing that, which was ridiculous. I mean, he's the crab leg thing. But there's been a number of things over the since he was there that just wasn't what you'd call socially acceptable.
Yeah, there's certain things going on around Florida State that you're thinking something might be a little fishy, so they better launch their own investigation, or they're going to be subject to much bigger penalties once the NCAA steps in.
Something fishy, you mean beyond the crab legs?
Beyond the smell of the crab legs.
Well, I think you might be onto something there, young feller. We're not going to take a break. We're going to go right to our guy, Pete Wagner. From On the Ice, and, well, you do On the Ice, you do the baseball show. I mean, this man is, he's the busiest man I know, other than Hellboy.
Yeah, I don't know if you can call it busy, Bob, but covering a lot of sports, which is awesome, so it's great. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you. And On Deck Radio, you got Gene Larkin and Al Newman. Al will be joining us in the next break when we talk baseball. But right now, though, we want to talk some hockey with you. How do you see tonight's game going?